All right, Epiphany, I'm so glad to be here. I'm super excited for this.
Me too.
Yeah, and I figured, why don't we just do a couple breaths together to say bless you for whatever we're both coming from, and to just, you know, land in our bodies and land in the now. So yeah, three or four deeper breaths, a little bit more deliberate breaths to land in our bodies and to land in the present moment, and to call a sacred circle around us for this time, for you and for us. And whenever you're ready, come on back. And before I give you the talking stick, I want to just check, can you hear me loud and clear, and our technical bits are good?
Technical bits are great, yes.
Okay, good. So just to set a little context, I just want to hear from you. You've asked me a bunch of questions, I'll ask you some. We just want to really get a sense of, you know, what's up, and are we an awesome fit? And if so, what is that going to look like? Does that all sound good?
Sounds great.
Cool. So yeah, you want to take the mic and let me know what you've been thinking?
Sure. It's funny. This is where I think that this will be really helpful. This is really just a big deal. This is like my time. I feel like this has been 8.5 years. I just want to integrate the last 8.5 years. It's been just a whirlwind, and you know what it's like to be a mom. So, and have partners,
yeah.
And yeah. So, having that, I feel like that there's a lot of catch up that I've been pushing off and shelving over the years that I have not been able to do, and so I want to carve out that time, and I am, to do this work, and you know, particularly in the next few months with the catch-up from stuff that I just kind of shelved, and I want to dust them off, and I'm feeling a lot of vulnerability come up, which is great, so I know I'm on it. But I want to kind of do like an organization and cleaning up house just so I feel integrated in present time. I'm not feeling in present time, and I haven't been for quite a long time, and it's been really challenging for me to move through life. You know, I love my life, and I love myself, and I love, you know, everything about it. There is a part that I haven't really felt completely integrated. So that's why I've always thought, like, I really would like to work with you when the time is right. And I've actually thought about that a couple of years ago with you.
Wow.
So,
awesome.
I know, right? So that's a bit intuitive. And Yoni was screaming, yes, it's Liana. So I knew that. So I'm not even quite sure. I would love a second pair of eyes on it to get it organized of what work I need to do. I don't even actually know how you work. What if you do programs, if you do individual, you know, the cost of all that. So I definitely know I want to work with you, and I'm just not sure, you know, the depth, the cost, and the shape and form, but I definitely know that your energy's in it. So I've been a full yes the whole time. And I need to see what I can do, because there is a lot of stuff on my plate, and I'll start getting into that, letting you know that I need to have also double check, not just with myself, but because it's been shelved for so long, and I've kind of swept it under the things underneath the rug, I need to really check in present time, like, did I do that healing work? Is that complete? Is it 90%? Is it 100%? Whatever that means, right? And then it's like, okay, so which ones are priority and which ones are first, and like which one's more foundational? I always look at it, and with my coaching class, I'm like, it's the princess and the pea. I want to find that pea and the foundational, and then kind of move my way up so it's more efficient work. there's a lot of traumas that I've held on to, and it was really funny even before this call. I sat with it, and I was like, did I ever do that? Did I do a fast phobia on that one? Did I do some giving myself resources in that experience, that situation that was maybe 5 years ago? And some of them, I'm not quite sure what I've done, and I know that I do a lot of medicine work, and I've touched upon these, and it goes back to childhood and things, but I just feel that the clarity is the number one thing. Getting organized, and then just getting myself to feeling in present time. And then I'll give you a backdrop specifically what's going on in present time so you can see it too.
Yeah.
Is there anything before I move into that? Is there any questions you have? Or
I'm going to hold them a little bit because I think that is great Great, great, okay, great cool. information.
Just want to double check.
Yeah. Yeah, no, let me hold a few of those and you keep going.
Okay, great. Okay, so I asked Austin to move out. So he hasn't been living here. We're separated, and I asked for a divorce.
Oh, my gosh. Wow, Didi. Okay, just a
yeah.
small thing to catch me up on. Okay.
Nobody really knows. There's only a few people. So I asked for a divorce about 2.5 years ago, and that was kind of like my coming out and coming back to community, because since I saw you at Burning Man, that's why it's really kind of magical that I'm asking you. It's like,
yeah.
Because it's like you and Nathan were there, and you're like, hey, let's check this out, and just like stay in this play, and like in friendship space and deeper connecting, and I end up going into this bubble and this journey with Austin. It's been really,
yeah.
I'm in a deep gratitude space, which is great. But I have not been the whole time, and it's been really challenging and rough because, how do I even say this? There's so many traumas and things I've been holding on to, and I'll just come out with it so you can actually feel into it too. So he had me arrested on March, in the middle of March, for a felony.
Okay,
and so
cool.
Before my second date with Joe Muscatello, and Joe and I have been, you know, lovers and in for the last couple of years, and he's been really trying to push me to date him, and based upon, there's a lot of subconscious stuff on a bigger level, so this is great. I get to show you all this. It was the day before I had that date with him. I finally was going to go and allow myself to do this because Joe also doesn't want kids, and he's younger. He's not really my type. So I've always just had a great connection with him, and I also don't need to be in an open relationship. That's just not how it works. But I haven't been satisfied with Austin from the very beginning. I have not been feeling fulfilled. I've been having his back, and he admits that he's never had mine. So he's a totally different person today than he was then, and so was I, and we both reflected that we both came to it very self-centered, the relationship. Yet he never, like, I'm working through the I'm like redoing it, I wouldn't say undoing, I'm undoing, I would say, the whole path for us, and it's just perfect the way it happened. But I never knew he didn't fully choose me, like fully, like leaned in to this love thing until I was already pregnant, because he was lying the whole time. So that's something that happens in a relationship. He tape records our arguments, and there's a lot of not trust because he's working through his own, not allowing himself to be vulnerable, which is ironic. It's kind of funny too, because I'm a marriage coach and a relationship coach, and I work with women's empowerment. And so this way it's a perfect fit for my, what I do for a living, which I think you can really understand. And I'm taking my private practice and I do so well, and I'm putting it into online courses. That's what I was telling you about a couple of years ago. So, but it's been, the last part was where I was out of integrity, where I can't do his work for him. So I had to actually get myself out of it. But let's go back. So basically he never fully chose. And so I've been just trying, and this is where my nervous system, I'm feeling that still needs a good hearing. Mm-hmm. There's so much grief in my system, and I can feel even talking, and like my voice is shaking, that I was just trying to do the best that I could, you know, and he was too, just to keep the family together. I was pregnant, and I didn't know that he was talking negatively behind my back, that there was a lot of disrespect or whatever, that non-honoring of me until I was pregnant. And so I just tried forcing it. And so that's what I did for many years, you know, for 2+3 years to make it work. Sent him to Landmark, sent him to NLP training, you know, it was like all these things so he could just be present and meet me. So I could work on my stuff so we could trust each other as a team, and, you know, because I'm not perfect and I have my stuff. And so it was just been this struggle trying to keep it together. We did well. For about 6 months, we chose to have a baby because it was so short, and then something else happened. So it was more lying, talking behind my back with a nanny. So I think, I don't know if I ever told you any of these things. So there's just a lot of traumas where, like, there's a lot of ostracism, which is perfect because I have some stuff with that. And there's humiliation and shame, you know. And so this has been, like, looking at my negredo and priestess work and, like, okay, great. So I get to work on this stuff, but it's been, like, moving like a bullet train faster than what I can keep up with, having 2 children and a business and a house mortgage.
Yes.
You know. So there's other things, like, I've started touching upon, so let me get a little bit more of a macro view. So it's basically him convincing me that I was broken and I'm whole and he's whole, And there's been this all the way up until just recently because we had a Lakota divorce ceremony, and it looked really beautiful. We just did a couple weeks ago before he left for Peru. But before that, every year there's been at least 3 major to 4 major events where when he gets scared, when he's gotten scared, that he would blame me. And so then how I handled it was terrible in the beginning. So there's a lot of forgiveness that I've been in that space, and that's where I'm still, there's still remnants of me coming to terms of forgiveness and acceptance, and just, you know, we both did the best we could, to where I've been behaving pretty damn well for the last 2.5 years. And so that's why it's been getting closer and closer for divorce. And then last year, we got in an argument, and he was recording. So this is kind of like the pivotal of catch up. So there's been trading. There's been over 100 people he's talked negatively behind my back. We made a list of people. So there's like a lot of energy out there. And I'm an energy worker first and foremost, a healer. So I can feel when something shifts.
Yeah.
So that's how it feels. But last year, he ended up closing the door with my clients. So this is where it comes to like reputation and the work I do in the world. He closed the door of the office because I was sharing my assistant. She was 15 years old with my clients, a marriage coaching clients that I really worked with, and it was her daughter. It was her first job. And he closed the door because we had an argument or some sort of something, but he was processing our marriage with this 15-year-old. This is last fall. And he basically pulled up on a screen. It was about for an hour and trying to convince her that I had borderline personality disorder before it was narcissistic personality disorder. And I know I can say all this because I feel like I can tell you all this things because I know you don't think I'm a bad person. And so I've been really holding this and protecting him all these years. So so then he was doing this with Sergio. So Sergio, which I'm still, you know, we cleared it, but I'm still like, I know what my depth of the Sergio is, but Sergio bought into it because he knows Sergio, and Sergio likes drama, at least I think he does. And he likes to get involved and think that he knows, and it gets his crown chakra all dusted off, and he gets to be in part of it because he's, you know, Sergio likes to do that. So, but he was really feeding into it. And then I talked to him, I finally cleared it with him, and it was Sergio, and I was like, what are you doing? Like, what is it that you're, like, borderline personality disorder? Do you think that I have that? And he goes, well, I don't know what happens between closed doors. I'm like, Sergio, are you trained? Do you actually know what borderline personality is? You're my friend, and you're telling me that you don't know? And I was like, wow, okay. So we went to the thing, we cleared it. He was really happy. He said he's going to pull back, you know, from talking to Austin and do any counsel with Austin. I said, that's great. But this has been going on, and this is why I was so hiding for so many years in our marriage until I came out probably 3 years ago. You know, we started doing the social stuff. So Sergio backed off. I'm clear with him. There's nothing really clear with him at all. I still love him, and I have great connection, but I just know on the loyalty level because I'm where I meet people on the loyalty level, like he just can't match that. Because if anybody said anything about Sergio, I'd be like, excuse me? Go talk to him. You know, like, even in the counseling, I would be like, really? Are you sure and support the marriage of the person? But Austin's very charming. He's very intelligent, and he has a really good story. So anyway, that happened. And then, so other things, and I got a concussion. I was in a car accident in November. So this is when it all blew up, like divine intervention. I have a back sprain that's almost, it's like 60%, 70% healed, and I still have a really bad concussion. That I can still work a little bit. You know, I'm still working. I have been until just recently. For 6 months, I've been operating with a concussion. But what it did was I don't have a filter, which I don't really have too much of a filter anyway because I just stay where I'm at always.
Right.
This is me, and I like that. But I lost the grace and the filters. Whatever filter that I did have is gone. And so I've been really ticked off, and there was remnants of just, like, what happened with Sergio and with Devin. And then just things started getting worse, and I've been just like, you know, I was sharing, doing some couples, you know, tools, communication tools together with him, and I was like, I'm done. I am so upset. I wish I never met you. Like, it was like emptying the jug. It's Paris coaching. Part of my training I use. And you're just like going through the 4 emotions, and you're just letting, you just hold space for the other person in the container. It got to Austin because he doesn't know how to hold space that way, and I also was not accurately seeing what he can hold and what I just, the kind of relationship that I wanted with my partner is be able to have them hold space, that, and just know that their just emotions are fleeting. And so when he heard that, you know, I wish really I wasn't with him in just the deep sadness and grief and whatever, like, I just really wish you were dead, and that scares me that I actually pray for that. and that really does not feel good in my body, my system, and all that stuff happened. Then I was also angry. I've been slamming doors, and there's like, and he just has this thing about me yelling. So all this stuff is blamed, but it was a domestic violence thing. So just coming up to this, it was the day before. It was the day before I asked for a divorce. It was Monday. No, Sunday night I asked for the divorce. Monday. And then Wednesday I was going to see, having my second date with Joe, go to Joe's house for the first time. Like I made room that he was going to hang out with the kids. And then Tuesday we got in an argument, a fight, and I could tell he was recording me. And he promised he wouldn't record this last year. Like he's like done with it. And he was doing that. I just got so pissed. And so I was trying to grab the phone from his pocket. And so there was a scuffle, our arms, you know, and there's been physical stuff in the past, which, you know, we'll discuss to see if there's anything left there. But pretty much he had a scratch, literally, that was like 1 millimeter. And I had, you know, and we're just like trying to get the phone. But let me give you a backdrop too. So this is in my space. So I need this trauma out. I need to recover from it.
Yeah.
Because I have a panic attack still in my system. And I feel like I need someone to hold space to do that, you know, because I was starting to do it. And I just got a clear no that I shouldn't do this one by myself.
Right.
I called the cops. I called the cops last year on him. So this is my accountability. George told me to. So this is where this crazy psychic stuff comes up. So this is why I was like, oh, somebody spiritual can get it. Austin's grandfather was a CIA agent, thought women were inferior. Like that was his belief system. So I felt that in his lineage from the very beginning, and I've known that. My grandmother was afraid of men. So we've got, like, our ancestors, like, fighting in the background, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
And so, but I didn't have any male issues because I've worked through all this stuff before I met him through NLP. And then I also did it through when I did my trainer training, like, a couple things came up and I did a trade with somebody, you know. But I don't have, like, my fear of men in there. Hate for men, which he thought it was a projection from him. But there was something about not showing my fear. Not allowing myself to be vulnerable and open, like I'm scared when you act like that and you run that much anger. So what happened was that, like I said, I've been doing pretty well and behaving really well. I'm proud of myself. And when I said something and he thought the girls were hearing, even though it was like they were asleep in our bedroom across the house, he has that fear. That's his trigger. So he leaped across the couch and he basically put me in a chokehold. So that was last year. So that was all around the same time with the Sergio thing and the Devin. And what happened was I was like, I didn't do anything because I've been behaving so well. And I was like, whoa, I didn't edge him on. I was actually talking or raising my voice being angry. I wasn't yelling. And he actually admitted it. But there was something that triggered me that, like George said, you have to call the cops if there's anything. And so I did do that. He said, arrest him. And I'm like, I can't arrest him. You know, I just couldn't do that. But I did call the cops. To tell him because I had to fall through on it to stop this behavior, you know, that this is not okay and I am afraid of you and I don't like that. It was so hard for me to reach that point. Yeah. And so I did, and it was just a warning. And then I said, I'm sorry, I won't call. But then it was great because what came up was my anger with my own abuse issues, my mom hitting me when I was a kid. So I noticed when he got, after 4 days of trying to convince me that he was allowed to put his hands on me if he didn't like what I had to say or if he felt disrespected, he tried to convince me for 4 days. I had him work with George, go down the street, because we're right down the street from him. And then finally, he's like, he gets it. He's never allowed to. And then that triggered me. I was like, oh, now I get to do my work. I was like, wow, I still have some. This is what I've been working with ayahuasca and San Pedro and my own stuff about, like, just my feeling safe and protected in situations. And so it opened up a whole thing for me. So I realized, you know, and I was still also holding on, you know, what happened with the Devin and, you know, kind of shelving it. And it was just kind of tick and waiting to be able to process it. So then what happened was, and I'm just one story, so I'm like, there's a lot. He called me, something happened, I blocked him in the door. I had Lorenzo with me, but I blocked him. And then he locked himself in the kids' bathroom, and I'm like, whatever, it was bedtime. So I brought the girls and we took a shower instead. So I was like, whatever. Because he wouldn't actually enter a conversation. It was like something, I don't know, he was super triggered and I didn't understand, but I was like, fine, we're done. But I blocked him in the door for sure. He called the police and he let the police in and the girls and I were in the shower in their master bath. And they were pounding on the door. I thought it was Austin. He was telling me to get out or something, like, I don't know, just doing whatever. And it was the police. He let the police in. They could have searched the house. Like, it's just stupid. He just does a lot of stupid things when he's scared. And so I came out and he said, you know, do you want him in jail? I said, no. I was like, we're not supposed to call the police anymore. We actually said that. And then he said, make sure you both know that the next time someone calls, someone's going to go to jail. And make sure that no one shows any injuries. And this is really what you're doing. And I said, oh, yeah, totally. We talked. And Austin's like, yep. Well, no, we're not going to call again. I'm like, yeah, duh. I was like, let's stop. We get it. Okay? Just stop. He's like, yeah, it was revenge. He admitted it was revenge. But then he's been tape recording me since then. And then that's when this whole case came out. We got in that little scuffle. He literally drove to the police station. And I had my first brain, because I had to get a brain MRI for my car accident. He didn't pick up Sierra from school like he was supposed to. So I was like, okay, here we go again. This is the norm what I've been dealing with. And then so I've had to take Sierra to the brain MRI. The appointment to get the prescription for it. And so it's the first time with the neurologist, which is very, you know, stressful. I'm trying to get all the stuff done. The kid's there. And then the police call. I'm like, fuck. So then I'm like, he was trying to tell me, he's like, I need to have your statement. I'm like, I'm not making a statement. The statement is that it was equal. There's nothing. Nobody did anything. And I'm really sorry he called. He's like, well, he's been down here for hours and hours. And I have everything. He's been listening to me, having listened to tapes and everything and recordings. I'm like, what? I'm like, and I'm thinking, like, what is he doing? Is he trying to get custody of the kid? Like, I'm like, what? He flipped again. He flips like this every 3 to 4 times a year. So I'm like, and then I said, you know what? You're going to choose what you're going to do, because if he wants to put me in jail, that's terrible. I said, that doesn't make any sense. I said, I'm not going to put my husband in jail. This was equal. And he's like, I just need to know, is it true from this recording that you tried grabbing the phone? I said, yes, I tried grabbing the phone. He was tape recording me, and that's not cool. And I don't want him to record the phone. I was just wanting him to talk, to have a normal conversation. He's like, well, you got to come down here anyway. I was like, well, I got to pick up my little one. So I picked up the little one. It was set up. I drove them all. My kids were there, drove to the police station. And then they took me around the corner, and they ripped my kids from me, basically. And that's my, I'm saying ripped, because energetically I could hear Lorenza crying, wanting my mom. So he had Austin was behind the doors, and he had to drive home with the kids. And so the cops did what they were supposed to do. They're not trained in any of this stuff. They're not marriage counselors, right? And so basically I got arrested for a felony for domestic violence, not just a misdemeanor. It was a felony. And then basically the kids were crying all the way home. Sierra was just pissed. She's like lost a whole new reason. He finally came to terms with this, but he never apologized until 2 months later, which Austin doesn't apologize for things. Because he looks at it a spiritual way, but it's also a scapegoat to, like, not really fully be accountable. So then I got strip searched. Good thing I'm not shy. All those things happened, and I had a call of parents. My parents said, just get the hell out of there. It was, like, $5,000. So we just wasted $11,000. So this is where my money situation is really tight. So I'm so pissed, because that was my savings to do my stuff for my online business to not work. So I've been saving over these months. And so basically he was ticked. The restraining order is temporary. They can't do anything about it. But the judge found it and crossed off because the restraining order was against my kids, too. I'm like the sole proprietor and the sole caregiver. So I wasn't allowed in my house, and I ended up going to a branding workshop, so I had to leave anyway. But I took the kids and went to my parents' house. But before that, I came home, and technically he could have had me in jail for 2 years. So I was playing with major fire, like I'm a decaying energy, which is me anyway. And I came home, and I'm like, I was going to sleep in my own bed. My parents and the kids were in with my parents, and because I had a good court. And I just knew, and I was just in my priestess phase and just, like, looking, and I'm really good on these. Trauma work's my specialty. So I'm, like, dealing with trauma, being able to see things clearly. And I'm like, CHP, what do I need to say for him to get just, like, see? Because he was, like, kicked off and annoyed with me, treating like shit when I came home. My mom was finally pissed for the first time. She actually was, like, seeing what's happening. And then I basically told him, he's like, fine, whatever, but I knew I needed to call an attorney. So I hired an attorney, you know, another $5,000. So I could get it thrown off the DA's desk before it goes to the judge. So that happened, and then I was telling him about, he put us on the mat for Child Protective Services. Oh, like, this is just not cool. We don't do this. And he's like, I was trying to protect the kids because you fight in front of the kids and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I yell in front of the kids. I'm a woman, and I'm telling them I don't like the way you treat me. It's either I take it or don't. But it's not like, and if I even slip calling you an asshole, I clean up with them and say, what a wonderful person you are, and that was bad behavior, and blah, blah, blah. I'm just doing the best that I can with the situation. I was like, you know, telling him, and that's the truth. That's how I feel. You know, I can't be perfect. I'm not an enlightened being, so I try to clean up as much as I can being human. But it's not as bad as he thinks it is, and that's my experience. We have two different realities. So finally, that got done. But basically, we still went to Legoland because I knew I planned this whole Legoland trip. Like, that was part of my savings, and all this stuff just went away. So because the kids wanted to go to Legoland, I still invited him to go. And there was still, I know him, and just playing with that energy, I was like, okay, but I also knew he needed to move out. He still wants to go see his parents. Like, nobody knows this stuff. This is the way I've been living for 8.5 years. And then finally, like, right when he came back, I was really clear, like, you need to move out. So he's been gone since mid-March, and it's been so great for me. I feel so much my essence coming back, and I feel more self-expressed within what happened. I called his mom the day before the divorce ceremony, and I also talked to him about healing agreements. I'm like, we're done. We did our healing agreements. We did it efficient to be spiritually what we who we want to be, but I don't want to be in this healing agreement. I want celebration and support and cheerleaders for my partner, and I've been asking for that from the beginning. It's not happening. And he's like, something clicked with him. He kind of got it about the healing agreement. And like, I mean, and I have such a deep love for him, which is so crazy. Like, I loved him and I get, like, it's just craziness coming out. His parents divorced and all this alcoholism from his dad. But I also need to be a stand for myself. So I talked to his mom. I told her everything but the arrest, about how he's been talking on my back and just, like, not honoring, just all this stuff. And she's like, well, that's what his dad did to me. I said, yeah. I said, I know. And I've, you know, been in, and he's been in trance work, and we've done, you know, I've done some NLP with him, and we found this. And but she was so supportive. They bought me flowers for the day of the ceremony. Just, mm-hmm. It was just so, and they're coming out next week. I've never told anybody any of this, I'm very sure, because I never knew that was going to be supportive. I've just been kind of like a feeling a caged bird and protecting and not having my voice. So me doing this and talking to this whole family, saying that we're getting divorced and asking for that, so we're spiritually divorced, which feels fantastic because I don't want to talk about the past with him anymore. There's, and then we're entering into a new agreement, a healing agreement, which has to do with celebrating all this stuff, and he wants that. And we feel really good with each other. We couldn't believe it. Like, we felt so good. And then I just, and I'm just, now it's like this letter to the community about what's going on, and we may end up getting divorced. He's also took 3 or 4 marriage books and relationship books with him, the ones that I'm reading, to like just reset myself, and he's catching up with all my training. And he's in Peru right now, so he still wants to be with me. And yet he knows that, because I've been telling him, we need a death of the past because we need to start anew. You've never chosen me. You've been hemming and hawing. My mom calls you a yo-yo. You're going back and forth. You just, like, same with the house, same with the babies. Like, you just, I just need the person, I need to be met a particular way, and I'm not putting up with it anymore. That's not, and it doesn't mean I don't love you or hate you. It's just that I love you, but we're just going to have a different right relationship because I need to be met somewhere that I'm sacrificing, and I can't be upset about it anymore. So that's a long story. I hope that was as much as there's a lot of little things in between, but that's where I'm at right now, just trying to catch up from my last 8.5 years of just this huge, like, initiation into being a queen and a woman. And I just feel like I'm here, and I feel so good, and I just have so much grace in my space, and I just need to get real clear of, like, what are the practices and what are the healing modalities that I need to do to really reset myself, because this is a rebirth for me.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Thank you. Sorry, a lot.
So
it was beautiful, and I said it energetically, but not in sound. So just so you know, everything is held in complete confidence.
Yeah.
I'm honored to hear all that. Wow. Shitty, been holding so much. I didn't even know.
Mm-hmm. I know.
I know.
Nobody really knew these things. Yeah, there's only a few gals. You know, Ollie knows what's been happening, and, you know, I have a few other girlfriends. I ended up telling Sonia, but I'll tell you about all that stuff too. But I also, Sonia's capacity to hold shadow in my personal opinion, I want to give her more, but she's also busy with Dan. But I had to, because she's actually involved in the energy with Austin and I. So she's part of, like, a She's like part of the dynamic too. So, but we'll get into that later. But
that's
the whole thing.
So I just had 2 little questions, and you can tell me they're not significant. But George, I'm assuming is also the guy who does ceremony and married Shane and Aliette, right? Is that George?
That's the one, George Bertelstein, and he's part of the Medicine Path Church. Yeah, so he's been in our lives for many years, and so they literally lived 10 houses down from us. And so he does, basically, it's like with Chuma, because he's part of a church, and I'm a medicine woman too, and I carry with the lineage of San Pedro as well, working with different shamans and healers. And I'll just be more vague there for a second, but that's George.
Perfect.
He's a marriage and family counselor, that was a long time ago, but he's a medicine guy. And we're also working with Jeff, right now. We were, have been for the last 2 months since this all happened. George is a marriage and family counselor, but he's part of the church as well. So it's been really helpful to deal with medicine people and who have a background in some sort of psychology, you know, like the human mind.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yes. Beautiful. And then you mentioned something with Devin, and does that, you, we don't have to go into it if it's a small detail, but you just let me know if it's an important piece.
Devin is the 15-year-old that was working with me. Yeah.
Okay. Great. Gotcha.
Yeah, I feel pretty clean. Like, she came to Austin, and I was working with her for panic attacks. Her mom and dad were getting divorced because her mom was cheating, and they had an open relationship toward the end, and basically I helped them consciously uncouple in a very loving way.
Yeah.
So I worked with them, and it was just great. And then I began working with her afterwards, too, because she was like, what did you do? My parents are going to the movies, and they love each other, and they're getting divorced. So she wanted to know what was going on. And so I helped her, and then with her, because she was a teenager and going through these things, and she just started having sex. And so, but I worked with her, and then she was really great organization-wise. But there is some stuff, I don't know if it's that important, because I did clear when that happened, I was on it, and I found out that happened because the housekeeper who he's done that with, who was a younger housekeeper, he did it with her twice, Amber. So then she knew about it because Devin came to her, and I was like, are you kidding me? Like, I didn't even know. So I felt really bad, and I cried, you know, that, like, because I didn't protect her. And I also didn't know, and I forgive myself, but I didn't think that he would do that anymore since Amber, and since I just didn't know about the surgery. Like, I didn't know. So I talked to her mom just recently, actually, and she still loves me, but she knew about all this stuff. But she also trusted me because I said, did your mom need to talk to me about this? And she said, no, my mom trusts you that you can handle it well. And I said, good. I said, because I want you to clear it with Austin. You need to have a voice and tell it how it ends for you because she had a panic attack when she went home. So she cleared it with Austin, and she stepped into womanhood in a way, and it was an initiation for her to step into young woman. So it was like, it's a spiritual thing. It was really wonderful. It happened, but it was terrible. But she actually needed me after that, and she didn't feel comfortable coming to me. So they actually found somebody, and now she's on medication. So I really feel there's a deep sadness in me. Like, I felt like I didn't have her back and dropped the ball, but this is what's happening on a level of my – this is into my business. So it will be an energetic piece to what I'm doing in the world with my career space and my contribution, because these shame pieces or me not feeling like it's like my marriage, it's funny. It's like this marriage and my relationship with Austin has been holding me back. And at the same time, it's fed my whole thing that I'm doing because it's exactly me, my scam. So it's just more of that on a business that we'll get into about. It's all about the integration, but so that's just Devin.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Great. Yes. Okay. Okay. This is great. I just wanted to say one thing too. I'm just so glad that you have some of the tools of NLP and, so you may have not been painting a complete picture, but I just wanted to say yay on one thing and then just use it to maybe talk a little bit about kind of the realm we'll head into, or we might head into. So you said, you know, did I do a phobia fix on this or that? And did you do NLP Marin or did you do different NLP training?
Well, I've been in the NLP career space using it for over 20 years. So
yeah.
My background is with Dilts and that whole group way back in the day. And then it's been NLP. What is that? NLPCU. I'm actually training with him again this fall. It's NLPCA with the Hall Bombs, and they were in the peninsula. So then I did work with them maybe even 6 years ago. That's where I got my trainer's training. And then, yeah, so that's kind of my background, and I've worked with other people, but pretty much it's like those guys. And all that. But no, I've never worked with NLP Marin.
So I don't totally know what they do, but I'll just give you a sense of my impression of my training and how I think it might be useful with everything that you're wanting to look at. Mm-hmm. So things like phobia fix, so freaking useful. And sometimes they work, and sometimes if they wear off or if they just didn't get all of it, partly it's because of just underlying beliefs or patterns.
I feel like phobia fixes, just to use one example,
It's like the layers later. Exactly.
Exactly. Like, super useful so that we can deal. And so, yeah, you know, my impression too, actually never having done San Pedro or ayahuasca, so forgive me, but my feeling is that the space that those medicines take you into is really a holographic, holistic sense of, here's the pattern, here's where it came from in my childhood or ancestry, and guidance on perhaps how to shift it or be in right relationship with it, right?
It's about the embracing. I think that's what it's basically the same as NLP, to tell you the truth. The embracing of it, and then when you do that, when you put the attention in embracing it, you're actually transmuting it, and you get to actually, you're actually giving resources. I think this is what Bertrand Cavie was, the NLP Marin guy, because I look at, I apply resources to, I call them imprint.
Yeah.
So any experience, I give resources to everybody involved in those and do that type of process.
Yes.
And then I do that, and then I always do a fast phobia. Later, if needed, but I usually transmute it first. But that's what medicine does as well. So it's funny. It's like sometimes the medicine takes you there, and you're working and you're doing beliefs. You can actually, it's funny to watch too. I'm like, oh, that's limiting beliefs. Oh, great, thanks, grandmother. Like, you're actually, I'm working with myself with limiting. I'm doing NLP and hypnosis while I'm actually working with medicine. It's so funny. And then vice versa, when I'm working with NLP, I'm bringing medicine. So it's all the same, you know, to me. Okay. So, yeah.
Yes. Okay, so good. So you totally get it. And I think it's awesome that you can do it on yourself. And then you can just, in this, you know what we're doing, you know the terrain, and then you can kind of surrender, you know, because it's a little hard to see your own nose sometimes. Even though you've been doing a great job. Yeah.
Well, I can't when it's super deep, because what's happening is that I can't break down. And I remember working with somebody 10 years ago, and I was getting some deep, deep stuff, like so deep that I was literally crawling on the ground, like slobbering snot everywhere, and totally in the moment, like literally crawling, doing the timeline thing. It was so good because I could do that. Someone else was leading it. I can't. If I go that deep, I can't, like, oh, let me read my notes. I'm supposed to do it. That's how I feel with this. I'm holding so much grief right now and so much, like, I need to let go and trust and surrender and then be in somebody else's hands that I trust to do that. Because the control part of it's what's been happening. That's why, like, you didn't know the depth of what's been happening. Nobody has. I need to let that go, going, it's a safe place. I can take a deep breath. I can actually, I can actually do this now. Like, there hasn't been time having two small children. So, till now.
No.
You know. Yeah. So, that's
no,
what I
no.
think.
So, so let me just, so this is, we totally get it. You know, the terrain of the work, you know, the technique or the technology of it. I think you really have a beautiful sense of the, and you've articulated a beautiful sense of all this stuff. And I might just offer in there, this is implied in what you said, but just to offer in there, you know, yes, some of these are ancestral from his lineage or yours, so we can look at that. Some of this, again, implied in what you said is very disconcerting to be living in a situation where there is distrust or deceit. And so partly, right, this is a recalibration of your truth, of trusting yourself, et cetera. So, you know, we're just adding that in as something to keep looking at here.
I trust myself more than I ever have. And that was a gift that this relationship he has given me. Like, that's, I'm in such gratitude space with him. I just feel like I just need to also feel through the baggage.
Yeah. I'm not sure if there's a ton more I would add, because, you know, you're really understanding the terrain of just being able to feel things, work through them, self-forgiveness, just the grief, working through actually the trauma, et cetera. Would it be useful for me to describe a little bit of a typical session? What do you think would be useful?
Sure. Yeah, whatever you think, go with it. I trust you.
Okay, so first of all,
whatever you think is right, yeah.
Yeah, first of all, total yes, meaning
what you're wanting to work on or how you're wanting to work on it, your instincts are correct. You know, yes, I think this would be beautiful to do together. I'll say this, you stop me if anything doesn't make sense because I'll use a lot of NLP jargon, but essentially I like to do 90-minute sessions, and if that doesn't work in your life, we can absolutely work in a different way. But essentially what we would do is get a sense of what happened, you know, either the memory or that example or just the feeling of that particular thing you don't want. And eventually we're really understanding it to be able to respect it and with the understanding, of course, that it is a solution to a past problem, right? It's a hard-won state, even though it sucks now. But being able to treat it with respect. But they'll also want to look at where did it originate? Usually, like you said, imprint. Memory, imprint in your childhood. It sounds like, you know, there's some pretty obvious ones that maybe you really have worked beautifully with, but there's a flavor or a depth that got recently exposed or, you know, it just was incomplete at the time. So, you know, some of them might be like this old thing again, but still super useful. And then absolutely.
You know, it's the view stuff. It's because that's what's been happening for the last couple of years as I've been feeling better and it's been coming up. Grandma, when I was sitting with ayahuasca, which I don't sing with ayahuasca anymore, but what's been coming up is she keeps showing me and I'm actually getting healing for all the times that have been emotionally and physical and mentally abused. Because otherwise I wouldn't have had that. This is what I brought regardless of what often did. This is what I brought to the table. Absolutely. Yeah.
Right.
It's unresolved for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And then, so you use the term of bringing resources, absolutely, right? So we're resourcing or re-imprinting early memories, certainly even ancestral patterns, et cetera. And, you know, having that integrate so that your experience of you, yourself, you know, your feeling or how you're even carrying any of that is totally different.
Mm-hmm.
So that all sounds like exactly how you would describe it.
That's how it works too. I love it.
Yeah.
I do two-hour sessions, which I'm probably going down to 90-minute sessions. So, no, I sometimes work with people for 7 hours. So, no, anything that we need to do that you feel like that's fine, however you work, yeah.
Yeah, and maybe what we want to do is do a longer, you know, hour 45 or almost 2 hours the first time just so we can feel each other and, you know, get the sense of the space we're creating. Partly, though, because you are a practitioner or have just done a lot of work, we may just 90 minutes might do it just fine. So we can play with that. No problem. Essentially my sense is you're so been doing a lot of clearing and healing and stepping into this queenly energy. And that there might be nuances along the way of what exactly that means or what you're, again, leaving behind and leaving with that matrilineal line or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a full support of leaving the fear of the feminine, the fear of the masculine.
So you broke up just a little bit. I'm sorry. Can you say that again?
Yes, absolutely. Am I clear again? That sounds good.
Clear. You're clear now.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Good. So I'm just in favor.
What did you say? You said leaving something, though. I didn't hear. It broke up. It was can you say that sentence again?
Yeah. Leaving fear of the feminine and fear of the masculine. Just
got it.
Let's leave those in the past. And I think that as we do that, there's going to be even nuances of what you're embodying that we can work on. You know, what are nuances of queen or what are nuances of powerful woman?
Mm-hmm.
So there's not a ton I would add to this. This feels like a really rich terrain. And oftentimes I have to tell people, by the way, there is going to be a self-forgiveness process, or by the way, you're going to have to understand let's look more into self-boundaries. But, you know, you're kind of already aware of that. So, so this feels really complete. Yeah. What questions might you have of me?
Well, I think that how do you do hour and a half? Do you just do as we go? And what do you do by hour? Like, do you have an hourly rate? Do you, like, how do you work? I don't even know. I have no clue.
Yes. Yeah, so let me tell you how I work, and then we can see what needs to be tweaked. So I do have plenty of room for tweakage. Sometimes someone's schedule just doesn't, or, you know, they're just like, I can't concentrate for 90 minutes. It's not going to work. So what I tend to do is 2 sessions a month. So to leave 2 weeks in between for integration time and, you know, maybe even some practices. It really depends. I'm getting the sense that we should just keep doing NLP. So we just do 2 sessions a month. We certainly could do more, but it's a nice balance. And then we can work in practices in and around that. Sometimes I will do 1 NLP session and then 1 coaching session. And the distinction for me is that we're, if NLP is rewiring internally, then coaching for me is what are you doing externally, the practices, the conversations you're having, the kind of external doings and beings that are reinforcing the internal rewiring. My sense
totally.
Is let's do NLP for a while and then, you know, just really be in that terrain with some practices along with that, or, you know, here's what you're going to be mulling over this next week or two. And I do have 2 programs. One's Man Whispering. One is called Inner Feminine Badass Boot Camp. And I would be happy for you to listen to them and go through them. It's not really top of my list. It feels a little off topic. Or maybe we pick and choose here and there. But you do, of course, and I'm redoing the feminine course. it's good. But I'm just going to expand it and make it a little bit better. So we can just talk about that and see if that would be additional material that would support. But mostly, we'll kind of be in and out of those sessions and maybe connection by email in between. Just as kind of a fun little thing, I like to, you know, if you're going to read a book, let me get it for you. You know, so there could just be little fun perks along the way.
Okay.
We can certainly do 1 session. What I tend to do is monthly, and I'll go through what I'm usually charging for that. So there's just a monthly amount. We're going to keep going. Let's wrap our minds around 3 months or 6 months or whatever it is, and let's come back to that for you and I. So then that's just a recurring monthly charge that you can stop at any point. So there's no minimum or maximum and no, you know, you have to use up these sessions per se. So it gives us some freedom. Make sense so far?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, following, I'm writing this down. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. There's no way to tell, right? Like, it's so co-created of when you're done or when, you know, how many sessions we'd need. We could certainly start with 1 if you just want to really feel it through. My feeling is 3 or 4 sessions minimum, you know, like that would really give us, I think that would give us some time.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Absolutely,
too.
Yeah, absolutely longer if we want and it's rich and, you know, yes. But, you know, you're high level anyway, so that's my sense. So we can do a package or something like that. Now, usually what I do for regular old folks in the world is do those 2 sessions each month, and it's $9.50 each month. And then friends and family, will do, it kind of just depends what's going on with the friend or the family. So let's talk about where you are and what would work. I have some folks that are doing $7.50, some that are $6.50. And so let me pass it over to you and just see how that sits as a reality with the financial piece that's going on too.
Yeah. That's definitely, I want to make sure. So first, I just want to say thank you, by the way, for all this info. Like, I was taking diligent notes.
Okay, good.
I'm getting a sense too. I'm definitely feeling. Yeah, it's 1, 2 felt too small. 3, 4 feels good, and it may even trickle into more. And then. As for, thank you for even mentioning a friend and family right too. That's really helpful. I would have to definitely sit on and feel it out, like what's right. But whatever it is, regardless, I want you and I both to feel really good about it. Yeah. And so if you do friends and family rate, then that's fine. But if you don't do it and you're doing, like, I want to honor our energetic spaces. So I am way more tight with money, and because we're paying for a room rental in Berkeley right now too. Oh my God. And I have a feeling it's going to be just a little side. Even if he comes back and this is what we needed to actually put a depth to that dynamic, and that's part of the work doing with you too.
Yeah.
It's going to be a minimum of 6 months at least. It could even be a year. Like, I'm so happy that he's not here. I'm like, I love him. And at the same time, I feel so free and we're having such a great time and life is so much easier. So, that's just the one factor too. So I have to number crunch and things like that too, because we're paying for a very expensive room for rent and then other things too. But that whole range feels good. I mean, I just know that I will make it work, even though I'm not working. I'm working a third of what I was doing before because of a car accident. And I'm actually, after I get off the phone with you, I'm going to see if I can even get an attorney just to, I'm paying for everything out of my pocket for all my medical expenses too. So I'm going to give you a scope of what's going on. So I'm actually, for the last 6 months, for the 2 or 3 practitioner appointments I'm paying for, like, it's hundreds of dollars and it's in my savings, like, which is gone. So, but my point though is that eventually, depending on that settles, I will be hopefully getting that back because it's a few thousand dollars.
Yeah.
So that's where it why it's so tight, because that's why I was like, oh, then I can do some stuff with you for a few months, you know, or whatever. So, you know, 6 months or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So, where are you? So you're saying some people do $650, some people do $750, and then your normal rate is $950.
Yeah.
So I would love some sort of discount. I think that feels right. But I don't want to be the lowest either, because I want to honor your work, because I know that you're amazing, and that just feels right to me. So does that make sense?
It does. It does. Well, why don't you number crunch and just feel if either of those feel doable?
Well, let's do $750 then. And that,
okay.
Does that feel fine to you? Because I just don't want to do the lowest, because I do good work and I know what you do and you do too. And I feel like that I can get this money back from the med pay. And then, whenever the money's better, and if I hire you later, like maybe in a year from now, then I would like to pay the $950 for sure.
Yeah. I love where this is going. And I also feel great about it. So we can revisit it, and I really get where you're coming from. I feel
you feel, I'm sorry, delighted. You broke up again. You feel what?
Darn it. My phone is usually flawless. Darn it. Okay. Am I back to clear?
It is. It's just what it's doing. It's, for some reason, it's like, I don't know if it's the headset, but it clicks out on the word. You said, I feel, and that was it. I feel it. And then I didn't hear the word you said. I apologize.
No, I'm sure it's my guy. So I just feel great about that.
I got it.
Great. Yes. Great. I really appreciate where you're coming from. And I don't really ever want anybody to do a discount necessarily either, but there feels something really important about, I know you and I care about you. We're putting off friends hats for a moment and putting professional hats on. And it's kind of like a black belt ninja level space we're entering into. So not only is there love, but there's also just a nod to, you know, two practitioners getting to be in that space. So it doesn't feel at all a dishonoring. It feels like a privilege to be able to, you know, work with friends and family. So I feel great about it. And
great.
I really appreciate your thinking about it. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, good.
That feels awesome.
Thinking in, that feels pretty good too. Cause I was like, somewhere in the middle, but that feels good.
That's fine. Good. And then what I would say is, why don't we try out two NLP sessions, 90 minutes each. Maybe the first one will go a little bit longer if we need to. So we'll block out the time and energetic space. And then if you feel like you want to dial in, that time does not leave time to be support you around what you're practicing, then maybe we'll add in a half an hour session or something to just dial that in and hone that, so we can kind of work that in if that feels good.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like, so this is the other piece that I should probably tell you, because this seems to be, similar to your intuition, your psychic abilities. The 2 months is really a big deal because we're doing a Bardo. You'll get the email too. We're not going to speak at all until the middle of July. It's actually already going to be a month from now, but for the next month, That's why it may be great to do it a little extra just for the first month or you know, whatever we have, because I'm going to see him again July 13th. Like, we're going to actually meet up and see where our spaces are at. And he's actually going to a Gottman workshop with me because he's never done Gottman's work, and he was reading a book.
Yeah.
And I gave him another book about marriage work. So he's actually wanting to do a Gottman workshop with me. We'll see what happens when he gets back from Peru. I didn't buy the ticket, but we were going to go study with just two as a couple, because people do it divorced or separated too, up in Seattle with them. So we'll do that the middle of July together. And it's really an inexpensive workshop, thank goodness. And then, so I just know that we may end up doing that. We'll find out in a couple weeks, you know, I'll find out actually next week if we're going to register for it. And I just really wanted to kind of catch up as much as I can and get, that's where the coaching is great too, because not just the NLP work, to be like, okay, what am I doing? What is the most essentials right now? And then so it can unfold. But this is a crunch month for sure, because then we get to actually talk July. So I just want to give you that date. So it's like July 16th or something is when we're meeting up again to actually check in with each other energetically.
Okay, great. So yeah, we'll stack it then. That sounds wonderful. Well, you tell me, does this feel good on your end? Do you feel like you want to sit on it a little bit, or should we just go for it and schedule our first session and like make this happen?
Go for it. Absolutely. If that's where you're at.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm totally.
Yeah. Let's do it. Let's see. Good. Can we talk for another five? Are you good in terms of your timing?
I'm good. My assistant's out in my living room and she's working on stuff. So I'll just jump back into entrepreneur mode in a second.
Okay.
I'm good.
Okay. So if this gets long-winded, we can just do any of these details by email or text or anything. But essentially what we'll do is we can either set up our session right now, or I can send you a link and you can select times. And if you'll find what you need, let me know. I'll make it work. And then my assistant will send you an agreement, which essentially is here's what you're paying, what you're getting. We're on the same page. There's legal language of like, we're not going to sue each other or anything like that. So it's just super sweet. You can e-sign it, and then you'll get an email with like your client page where all the recordings will be held. We don't need to do this necessarily, but we could also do a Google Doc where essentially what you want to be working on, so we can refer to that as we go.
That sounds nice.
A little, yeah. Okay.
If you don't want to do it, that's fine too. I don't care. But that sounds like a great idea to help organize even my stuff.
Awesome.
What is your hunch? Should we do it or is it too much?
Oh, if you are excited by it, let's do it. So there's just a few questions you can just brain dump there. We'll refer to it as we go. It's fun because we go, oh, check, check, check. You know, I don't have that thing anymore. It's fun. But it also just, right, let's continue. Let's move on to that thing. So let's do it. That's great.
Okay.
So all that will come in an email. And Anne is my assistant's name, and she might ask you for mailing address and some things like that, because if I send you books, I want to have that. Because there's just a few little details she might get from you. But super simple. Like, we'll just... Oh, and then the other thing she'll do is send you a payment link. So if you want to do it any other way, you just let me know. But that allows you to do PayPal or credit card or whatever you want, and you enter the information so it's secure on your end. But does that seem like it's fine, or do you want to work out any other way?
Whatever works. Is it more expensive to use a credit card with you, or is it the same if I mail in a check versus credit card? Is it going to be the same price?
It's the same price for you. I think we pay 2% or something, or 3%. So
do you want me to just mail a check? I can just mail you a check too, and I can give you a post-dated check for the next month too, just so you don't have to pay the credit card fees.
Sure, that's fine.
So more money in your pocket, basically, is what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, that's fine. If you I really want to make it easiest for you. Like, what's easiest for you?
Oh, thanks. Yeah. I'll just have her. I'll just do it even when I get off the phone, so it's done. Because if I put it for a to-do list, that's when it starts to fall. Just send it to me. I'll make the checkout already, and if you could just have to send your mailing address, where I'm gonna mail it to you.
That's great. I'll do that. I'll email you with that info. That's great.
Okay.
So we'll plan for. Energetically, we'll plan for a concentrated period before July
you know, for the next 6 weeks. Okay. And we're sort of planning for at least 2 months, you know, 3 or 4 sessions, but probably some extra ones in there too. I don't think the 90-minute one's extra just because you're a mom and a business owner, and but we'll put them in so you feel well supported. Does that sound good?
Oh, I see. To before the July 6th, the 16th, we're talking about trying to squeeze as many. Yeah, gotcha. That'd be great.
Okay, great.
When what's the earliest do you think we can start next week, or are you pretty booked already next week?
No, we can absolutely do next week. Yep. And do you want to just get something down right now?
Yeah, let's do that. And you're coming out too, right, for your book? When is that going to be? I am.
I hope I get to see you.
I have it in my schedule for the all day or something going on the 30th too, right? You're celebrating the next day. But I don't know what time they are. What time is that thing? Okay, friend hat is on now.
Okay, yes. Friend hat for a moment. So the reading talk, fun book launch party is Thursday evening, June 29.
Okay.
And it's at 6:30 to 8:30, but, you know, we might go a little out or something afterward, but whatever it is, 6:30, and that's in SF at the Ferry Building.
Got it. Okay, it's in my calendar now. There it is. Okay, good. I'll put that
and
there.
And the next day, sort of 1 o'clock onward.
Oh, it's 1 o'clock. I didn't even know. Wendy didn't send the email back, and I know even Jennifer was asking, like, what is the 1 o'clock to
7, 8, we could even have dinner, so anywhere in there.
Great. And it's going to be in a summer or a house somewhere. Beautiful. Okay.
Exactly. So we'll just hang out. We'll take in some sun. You know, we'll just hang out. Exactly.
Great. I see you in a few weeks. How fun, nice is that?
I know, right? Gosh,
we could even, depending on if you're booked here, we can also do something in person too if you want to, or we can just do it on the phone too. But that might be a little bonus if, like, depending on what your schedule is like when you're here.
Great. Yes. Let me take a double check and see what is what and when, and let's schedule them sort of virtually by phone, and then we'll dial that one in. Does that sound good?
That sounds great. Okay. So let's
dial that one in afterward.
Yep. So you said next week, right? The 12th, June 12th week.
Yeah. So Tuesday is usually the main day that I have open. I have openings pretty much all day. So for whatever reason, it's a completely wide open day. Can we look to Tuesday to see what might work?
Yes, I have. Shoot. I have to make sure if I could pull it off at 1. I could probably pull it off at 1, but I have to double check. I don't know if you have 1. I have a couple. I just need to see her picked up. I don't know why they do that. They have, just for the last few weeks of school, I don't have the PTA classes afterwards, and I'm supposed to pick her up at 2:15. So I can actually see if she can go to a friend's house after instead, and then I'm totally fine until 4. So would 1 p.m., do you have that available by chance?
It would. It would. Do you want to look at another day
that
just
might
be easier? Yeah, great. Yep.
Okay. So let's cancel that one in because we'll be able to do 9. Let's go for the 1. I'm going to hold it. I'm going to make that work. And then I can confirm with you by, like, tomorrow-ish, because I'm gonna text 2 different moms to see if she can do a play date.
Great. Great. Yep, that is awesome. So we'll hold for 1 p.m. your time, right?
Mm-hmm. And then just save, like, an hour and 45 just in case. An hour and 45 or 2
exactly.
hours, just in case. Okay, let me just book out 2.
Yep, I'm going to block that out. Yep.
Okay. Perfect.
Okay, and I'm going to email you a day or two before, just reminding you of the dial-in details and, you know, just reminding you about that. Okay. So that'll come. So, yeah. And then if you want to shift that around a little bit, you let me know.
Okay. You know, I'm wondering, should we do it one the next week after? And just do more of that, because next week is more of a coaching and then NLP, like however way you want it. But do you think to jump in, like full on jump in, can we do the next week after, or would you prefer to do it, space it?
Well, we can do the next week after, and we can also just leave the space and decide whether we want to do coaching or NLP. My sense is that we want to do a lot of NLP up front.
Okay, whatever you think.
Yeah, I.
And I'm good that Tuesday the 20th. I'm doing good in the 20th. Yeah, I'm super
okay.
Open.
Okay, great. Let's see. We could do that same time. Might that work?
Can we do it a little bit earlier? Because I won't have Sierra go to a... Oh, wait. Actually, is Austin back? Yes, he could pick her up from school. I could. What time would that
okay.
be? 1 again? So
yeah,
1 p.m., 1
again.
Right?
Does that
Pacific.
Work?
That works fine.
Okay, 1 p.m. Pacific. Okay, great. So, and we'll go ahead and leave 90 minutes for that one. And if we want to make it shorter because of life, or we can be a little pliable with that one. Does that sound good?
Yeah, I'm fine. I just block off a couple hours because then I like to take notes anyway. So I'll block it off from 1 to 3. So
yeah. Okay.
No, I fully honor and create sacred space around this. This is for me. I'm so excited.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, awesome. So we'll do a little... catch up in email land with my mailing address, and then there'll be some welcome email stuff from all
okay.
that. But we have our first sessions, and you'll get a little reminder. Essentially, we'll be calling into this number each time, and I'll be recording, just so you know. But you'll get a reminder each time just to have that fresh. That info
great.
Fresh.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time
oh my gosh.
Today. I'm looking forward to jumping in.
Me too. Let's jump.
Super tender.
Wow.
I'm happy.
Yes. So I'm just so honored. I'm holding your heart. I'm holding your beautiful self, and I can't wait to, get back in sacred space with you.
Thanks, Liana.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll talk to you next week.
Much love. Yes.
Okay.
Talk to you soon, sweetheart.
Okay,
bye for now.
Bye.